Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, welcome everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, Chuck and Julie Show.
Grassroots show. Chuck is having Joe Biden moments. Truth straight up.
I'm working on the Adderall. Adderall hasn't kicked in, but it will momentarily. Truth straight up. And
sponsored by Rocky Mountain or Mountain West Wellness Advanced.
Say all right. There you go.
Advanced acupuncture and Chinese medicine. Okay, lot to break down on the election last night. But we wanted to start off with the really great news.
Good news. We
need the good news. And that is our newest congressman from Colorado, a grassroots warrior, Greg Lopez. Greg, thank you for the time today and congratulations.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, thank you, Julie and Chuck. It's a pleasure to be on your show as always.
So,
you know, I had one of my best friends was a kid whose father was a major leaguer. Oh, man, he's a major leaguer and so forth. He actually had brought up in September of, 1951, and he'd gotten to play like a game and a half and then got hurt. But he was in the game. He was in the majors, and he was a major leaguer. And now you're a major leaguer. You'll forever be known as congressman.
That's right.
You did the honorable thing, too. You saved the state, really, because it was controversial. Folks, remember, Ken Buck stepped down. I personally believe in an effort to sort of screw Colorado or Colorado Republicans.
And Ken was good at that.
And there was going to be a fight, and it would have been a real disaster, I think, for the CD4 race. And Greg did the honorable thing. You ran and you said you're not going to seek re-election in the November general election. So you essentially will be a congressperson from whenever Jenna Griswold decides, and I'll let you explain that until then, probably Lauren Boebert, who also when is sworn in. But let me first say, go ahead and explain that. So you're the congressman, but so when do you actually go to DC, take office? How's all that going to work?
Well, you think of your office and you know the furniture and your aides. And
well, I can tell you this, you know what, because I'm fulfilling the last 6 months, I know the office that I'm going to have. It's the former Representative Ken Buck's office. I'm in the Rainbow Building. So, you know, the office is there. I know the team that's was working with him. But to answer Julie's question, you know, how quickly can I get there? Well, we're having to wait on one of two things. The Secretary of State must either certify the election and declare that I am the winner officially, or she can write a letter to the Speaker of the House today and let him know, you know what, Greg won the election. Nothing's going to change between now and the certification of the election. So feel free to go ahead and swear him in as a congressman. And I can go and start casting votes and representing the people of CD4. So it really.
How long to take for the certification?
She can take up to 21 days.
All right. That's what she'll do. She's
done that before, right? It's not unprecedented that when it's somebody who won, as you did, by such a clear margin, that they just went ahead and swore the person, the Secretary of State in another state.
What do you think the odds of Janet Griswold will do the decent
that
thing?
First. Yeah.
Actually, it's a little unique, Julie, because it is a special election, right? So for those that were true freshmen, remember, they get voted in November, but they don't get sworn in until January. So that gives the Secretary of State a long time, you know, more than 21 days to certify the vote. But because these are special elections, which are general elections that are out of sequence, right? Sooner that we can get individuals sworn in, the sooner they can start voting and representing the districts that are lacking representation. So this is a little different, but to that point, the Secretary of State in California didn't wait for the certification. They sent a letter to the Speaker when Vince Fong won the election in the special election and took over for Kevin McCarthy. So California can do it. Colorado can do it.
Now, I imagine right now, and I don't know, maybe I'm putting on my little cynical hat, that you've got Jenna Griswold calling up, Nancy Pelosi or somebody and saying, what kind of votes do you have here? How long do we? I do you have any indication that's going on, or am I just being cynical, or is Mike Johnson on speed dial to you, touching you? Greg, are you here yet? Greg, are you here yet?
Well, you know what? Speaker Johnson did send me a text last night and said, "Hey, can't wait for you to get here." Congressman Tom Emerson called me this morning and said, "Hey, Greg, we got to get you here as quickly as possible." I don't think that, she's going to delay it because I don't know that it would fit well, for the people. An interesting thing to develop, and I don't think that this is something that I can't share, but the governor called me last night. Governor Polis called me and congratulated me, and said, "Greg, as you know, I knew him back when I was the head of SBA, and so we have a relationship from the standpoint of working together on a professional level." But he called me and said, "Hey, it's time for the people of CD4 to have a voice in Congress. Congratulations." And I took the liberty to say, "You know what, Governor, if you could do me a favor, I'm waiting, to get sworn in. And if you wouldn't mind to encourage the Secretary of State's office to send a letter to get me there sooner rather than later, I would greatly appreciate it." And he said, "You know, Greg, it's a reasonable request. I don't know why we wouldn't do that quickly, but I definitely will reach out to her and have that conversation." So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that,
That's great. Polis is a genius, and I think he wants to be president. And why make an enemy, when he doesn't have to? So, well, that's cool. So, what do you, I mean,
So in your 5, 6 months and so forth, must be a huge temptation to want to, say, "Okay, I'm here for 5 months," to make a splash, I mean, to, demand, call for the vacation, the speaker's seat, something to, give you a little notoriety on the way out.
For your book tour.
Your book tour.
There you go. Well, you know what? I mean, that's one way to look at it, right? The other way that I look at it is, look, this is a golden opportunity for me to go there and bring some statesmanship, bring some issues to the table that really make sense. Because they really, to your point, Chuck, I'm not looking for a gavel. I'm not looking for higher committees. And so there's really not a lot of pressure points or leverage that they can use against me. It's more about making the right decision for the people. And making decisions that are impactful for not only today, but into the future. And so I think it's going to be a very unique situation. But to your point, this would be a golden opportunity for someone to say, "Hey, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to rattle the cages a little bit because I'm out of here."
So what have you been up? Because I think it was fairly certain, although nothing's ever certain till all the votes are counted, that you would win. I mean, CD4 is heavily Republican. Have you been getting yourself up to speed on what's going on and votes that are coming? Or,
Yes.
I mean, okay. So,
Look,
any.
I look at this as a huge responsibility because never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would be a sitting congressman in a presidential election and a rematch between President Trump and President Biden. So who knows how the country is going to react to this election? But there is a lot of still appropriations bills, the farm bill, what's going on in the border and so forth. That I've been doing all that research, been doing all the reading, making sure that I'm very well versed to the best of my ability when I get there so I can have good conversations with my colleagues.
Right. How about the
Well,
relationship with Lauren Boebert too? Is I mean,
yeah, she call you up at all or?
Lauren and I go way back. I knew Lauren before she even ran for Congress. And actually, when I was running for governor, I was in Durango and the Southern Corridor, and she called me and she said, her campaign manager said, "Hey, Greg, we know you're down here. Lauren is running for Congress. Would it be okay if she spoke for 5 minutes in front of you? Because these are your events. They weren't events that, other organizations put together." And I said, of course she can." So, she would speak for 3 or 5 minutes before I would speak to the group. So I've known her a long time. We're dear friends. She did call me. She's very excited about me being there and winning. And to your point, Julie, the numbers always showed that I was probably going to win, but you never know until the votes are casted. But I think what people are really pleased about is the margin by which I won, the 24
Really
points.
good point.
Right. That's a very
Really
good
good
point.
point.
Well, what do you
Well, let me ask you this. Is there a set time limit, 5 months, 6 months longer, when you start getting all the stock tips? When does that occur?
You know what? I'm sure there'll be a list of stocks waiting on my desk when I get
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Any bid votes? For instance, I guess it depends on when Jenna Griswold goes ahead and sends the letter. But you know, I mean, we have what Representative Luna wants to try to force some kind of contempt thing on Merrick
Oh,
Garland.
that'd be a good one to vote for, yeah.
Right. I mean, are there any big things coming up? You know, where you're going to get there and you're going to have like 800 people suddenly trying to arm wrestle you to their side? Or do you anticipate it being somewhat mellow at first? Or are you going to be just
Oh,
thrown right into the
no. You know what? This train is moving, right? This train is not slowing down for anybody. And so I got to jump on this train as it's moving, you know? And so I think they will be wanting to sit down with me and talk to me about what I'm thinking. But I think there is going to be a lot of issues that I'm going to be a very important vote on. You know, I hope to sit on the Judiciary Committee. That was the committee that Ken Buck was sitting on, and also on the Foreign Affairs. I spoke to the leadership about that. They feel it's a reasonable thing to keep me on both of those committees for the next.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, and so, as you know, these are committees that make a lot of important decisions, not only on the border, but also what's going on with the judicial system and these issues that deals with personnel. So it's going to be an exciting, and you're right, maybe I should write a book, or maybe I should bring a camera crew with me. You know,
Yes,
follow me
yes.
around for 6 months.
Well, is your wife going with you to
You
Washington?
started
Is your wife
TikTok. You,
going with you to
yeah,
Washington?
I mean, yeah, you
Yeah.
moving everybody?
Well, you know what? I don't know that we're going to move to live there, but you know, when I am there, the hope is that she will accompany me. You know, we have responsibilities here in Colorado. Our biggest is three little Yorkies. Who's going to watch our three little Yorkies while we're gone? So, but yes, we hope to be together for the most part.
Well, my family on my mother's side owns a lot of farms in outside of Washington, D.C. and Maryland. So if you need a place,
Hey, I may. You know what? I can do a bunkhouse. I can do a house.
Dogs would be welcome. Dogs would be welcome.
Yorkies. Well, let me kind of switch a little bit and get your I know Chuck and I, and I think a lot of our listeners are obviously very disappointed, except for you and Lauren, and some of the results I said, but your take on, I mean, or were you just so busy? And I don't mean to throw something at you. You're like, Julie, look, I was kind of running my own race. I had a few things on my mind, or but in general, your take.
On the results of the primary
Well, the
election.
results of the primaries were Charlie Koch now owns the Republican primary by himself with spending, you know, 1.5 million on negative ads. Well, I guess he had other PACs do it, but he threw so many millions into it that you know we have three what I would call Doug Lamborn candidates. You know, if they were elected, they won't do anything, and if they're not elected, well. The Democrats take it. So it's just discouraging and by wide margins. I mean, you know, the millions they threw in, you know, Phil didn't have to spend a penny on these. You know, he just had Charlie Koch and a few others kind of throw the
Well,
money in and throw the negative ads in and boom.
Well, I can tell you this, for the most part, right? I was focused on my campaign. I
Sure.
did hear whispers back and forth, and just like everybody else, about what was going on in CD3, what was going on in CD5. But I really told my teams that we need to stay in our lane. We need to make sure that we win CD4. We don't have any chances because, for all we know, right, there would be a last minute advertising against me, just like they did in the primary for 2022. If you remember, you know, they spent $3.5 million against me in the primary for the governor's race. You know, they're sending articles, you know, mailers saying, "Hey, too conservative for Colorado." You know, mailers, commercials, and so. We really focused on our race because we didn't want to get surprised, but I didn't really focus on a lot, and you know I'm still kind of analyzing the results, right? A lot of county commissioners weren't successful either. You know that the congressional seats are now being adjusted, so it's going to be interesting because I don't know if there's going to be. I think Chuck, you sit on the executive committee. Will there be a special meeting coming up? I don't know. I'm hearing yes, maybe not. You
There's
know,
one
especially
on.
for the
There's
state
a
party.
meeting on the 22nd. They've called
There you go.
for the state central committee,
Yeah.
and but that won't be to recall or replace anybody.
Okay.
it's different ones, but it is, you know, as a Republican Party, you know, there's different stages of suicide again. It's like grief.
More about that. We just go into that after we let Greg go because we want to keep him real long. Let me just.
Sure, he didn't have nothing else to do. He's waiting for what's her name for 21 days. He's got plenty of time.
This is one of our listeners is saying you may have to hold Merrick Garland in contempt. Imagine start or have to vote to hold him in contempt. Imagine starting your career on that. I mean, that's like you said, that was well put. The train is running and it's not slowing down.
Right. And I, you know, as I look back and look at this, Julie and Chuck, I'm part of Colorado history. This is only the second time that there's been a vacancy in Congress where the governor has to call a special election. Wow. And then you're seeing what's happening in Congress, these types of votes. Yes, these are historical times for our nation. And I will be a part of those decision makers. So, yes, you know, I may have to write a book.
We will let you go just so you can start texting and harassing Jenna Griswold. Greg, thank you so much.
And we're so proud of you and so thrilled that you won.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Greg Lopez there. So, I mean, that's a great thing. You've got a ton of stuff, of comments and things like that. I don't want to, you know, I didn't know. I can imagine if you're Greg, you're like, yeah, I was running my own race. I was a little busy, but wanted to do some breakdown because I think one of the things, so obviously a lot of, how do we put it? Licking our wounds today, right?
Licking the wounds, I mean, decapitated heads.
Trying to put tape stuff back together in the Colorado Republican Party. And I think one thing, I just to make it clear, this is my thought, and Chuck, I think maybe, I don't know, we hadn't actually gone over this. I think that you're going to be reading a lot about, you know, oh, Dave Williams needs to go. It's a referendum on Dave Williams, the Republican Party. Everyone hates grassroots now, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I was seeing John Caldera was saying, thank God for Kelly Maher. She did it all. No.
Kelly Maher, yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly Maher did it. And John Caldera did it.
Her FEC complaint.
Yeah, yeah.
So we did some, I think this is, as is true of politics, I mean, money matters.
Really?
Right? And that's, I mean, really? And it, really? It's when you look at what happened here. So Dave Williams self-funded about $60,000, and I'm sure he raised some other money there. But I know he was indicating at one point just last week he was being outspent 20-1.
Yeah.
Basically, the Americans for Prosperity put $504,000 into canvassing, mailers, and digital ads on behalf of Jeff Crank. Meanwhile, four other super PACs, including the owners of our beloved Broncos, spent $2 million attacking Dave Williams, right, on TV, radio, digital text. So you've got, you know, almost $3 million right there spent against Dave.
He had $60,000, including his own money.
That's just incredible odds. And you may say, so I did some research on this. Well, same thing. Let me briefly talk about CD3. Once again, the Americans for Prosperity poured in $368,000, canvassing, mailers, digital ads for Jeff Herd. Meanwhile, Mike Johnson, thank you for nothing. His PAC put in $436,000 in ads attacking Ron Hanks.
Right.
So the thing is that they're not going to tell you is those, like you said, it wasn't just the Phil Anschutz. He didn't have to spend a dime. It was national money boys. They're not dropping that kind of money into Colorado to defeat grassroots candidates if grassroots candidates are insignificant, right? I think that there probably were significant polls that indicated Dave Williams and Ron Hanks were doing very well. I mean, they're not just, don't you imagine? They're just not dropping that kind of money to defeat him if they didn't think they needed to.
Well, that's right. But now they're going to have to throw a lot of money, more money in, because both Jeff Crank and Gabe Evans are underdogs. They're not, they have a decent chance of winning, you know, but both Democratic and Republican things will pour millions into those two races.
Right. And here's when you look, because again, I did some research, and because you think, you know, why do negative campaigns work? And there are like a million theories out there, but the one thing that does seem to be true, don't, poor Chuck is having sleep issues. Don't mind him yawning.
Sleep issues.
The one thing that they say that they do agree on is, and I've read this all over the place, is that there's a direct correlation to a candidate's polling numbers before and after being hit with negative campaign ads. Now, why that's exactly true, no one knows, but they're like, it's true. And they do polls before and after and they show it. The other thing I saw that since the year 2000, so more than 2 decades, in House seats in congressional races, in 90% of the time, the candidates who spent more money win, right? I
Well,
mean,
I'd like to know how many times the candidate who's outspent by his opponent 20-1 has won.
like never.
Yeah.
Yeah, like never, you know. And so I think don't what I want to say here is, because again, it was kind of a disappointing night, and I'd say that's putting it mildly. But don't be fooled by all of this, you know, like somebody's saying there, Eli Bremer is attacking everybody. You're gonna hear,
Eli
yeah,
Bremer.
right,
There you go, folks.
all the rhino,
Eli Bremer. Yep. Thank God
all
he
the,
was
yeah.
out there.
All the rhino uniparty establishment people are going to be out there, you know, pushing what is the false narrative? Is it the grassroots? No one, there are no grassroots. There's like four grassroots. That's not true. Again, they wouldn't have had to spend millions of dollars fighting Ron Hanks and Dave Williams if there weren't some, if there wasn't solid support for it.
Right.
Now, unfortunately, apparently, and as it's been, and you've said this forever, and you know that the money talks, right? That the money does hit. I don't think it's fair to call them the uninformed voters, because although turnout was really low, I mean, people who vote in the primary, I think, generally tend to be kind of,
They know something.
they know
They know
something.
enough to care to vote.
Right, exactly. So there's that. And then the thing is, and we'll be talking about this over the next few weeks, is where do we go, right? Dave Williams, I
Where do
mean,
we go?
well, as a Republican Party, I mean, even the
Down
Colorado,
the toilet.
no, even the Colorado Sun noted that Crank benefited from a tsunami of super PAC spending in the primary. As you know that now, I believe they're going to do everything. Now they're going to turn their efforts to forcing Dave out as Colorado
Well,
Republican Party chair.
great, because that won't do him any good anyway, because the Colorado Party is not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It doesn't, I mean, so, the establishment ran the party for the last 40 years into the drain. And then they got the outside people to kill the grassroots. And so what do they got left? I mean, are grassroots dying to vote for Gabe Evans? Are they dying to knock on doors for Jeff Crank? Are they, Will they vote for him? Probably, but is there any enthusiasm for them? The enthusiasm over is Americans for Prosperity,
Right.
which Jeff Crank is an officer of. So.
Right. Well, I think in terms of the overall color Republican Party, I mean, I think Gabe Evans probably does have a significant shot at the seat. And I think
Well,
he'll pour a ton of money in.
what's her name lost by?
Caraveo. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean. Burke Kirchmeyer lost by hundreds of votes, not
Right,
thousands.
right. And I think, you know, Adam Frisch are going to spend a ton of money there. Jeff Crank is,
Well, both those races will attract millions.
I think it is,
Do we
though.
have some?
Yeah, really. It is. I mean, as a grassroots, I mean, to me, it seems like what we do now is we keep, you know, okay, so we lost some significant battles in the primary. But there again, I would point out, though, that where they Lauren Boebert won. Lauren Boebert won decisively against a sea of rhinos and establishment people,
Well,
right?
she also had more money in the rhinos.
Well, exactly. So there's that. But what I mean is, people still voted for. So to say people hate grassroots, you look at Kevin Van Winkle, who's a grassroots candidate in Douglas County for Douglas County Commissioners, beat Priscilla Rahm, who was the former establishment GOP
Vice chair.
vice chair, right? Christy Burton Brown, poster child for establishment uniparty, was in the CD4 State Board of Education race, and she won, but not by as much as you would
Okay.
think.
Oh, good.
So to me, what that says is when you take out all of the money that the AFP poured in and these super PACs poured in to
We
get
won.
themselves at rhinos,
We won.
oh, but it's not, it's you can win, right? The
Well,
trouble
you better
is,
get the money.
the Democrats, on the other weird side that I wanted to mention, it does the crazy loons, I think Jared Polis and the crazy loons in the Democrat Party,
Epson
right?
Hernandez.
Epson Hernandez did not win. But the other thing I wanted to talk about too, when you talk about money, oh, Eli Bremer, you're right. Eli Bremer is calling us the establishment.
Yeah.
That's it. Oh,
Oh,
we
really?
can.
Can I
Oh,
tell?
hey, Charlene.
Yeah, hi there. I just want to say I feel like the rhinos really need to extend the olive branch and unify because, you know, Heidi Gnall only received 51% of the vote
in El Paso County.
Yeah.
So, you know, that could go to the Democrat. You know, the Republicans need to unify and not trash the grassroots because, you know, and they elected
they
that.
They won. They don't have to trash the grassroots. They're happy to unify. By unify, they mean you vote for us.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what unifying
yeah, but,
is.
I mean, I'm just seeing on social media, they're just trashing Dave Williams and, you know.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm just saying, even the candidate down there in Colorado Springs was unaffiliated. He won over Wayne Williams in that solid Republican district of El Paso. So, I mean, the election is half over. It's not over, you know.
Right. No. And you're right, Charlene. And I think
the same way with Hurd in his district. You know, I mean, I can't understand the Rhinos not wanting to extend the olive branch and be humble in their victory. I mean, they're just, you know,
the Rhinos, you mean the establishment may be humble in their victory. The Rhinos didn't win.
Well, Jeff Crank is a Rhino.
I know, but it's well, okay.
All right. So I think, Charlene, number one, you're right. I mean, you know, as Chuck said, they always just say, well, unify behind us, right? And but we won't unify behind you. And I think at a certain point, but here's what I think the problem is. I think the problem is the establishment would rather lose the seat to a Democrat than lose it to a grassroots. And as long as it's not a grassroots, because I think they feel like the establishment, they call it the Uniparty for a reason, right?
Yeah.
The establishment can work with the Uniparty Republicans can work with Democrats. They don't want to work.
Very well.
Yeah, you can't even tell the difference, right? Just ask Mitch McConnell. They don't want to work with grassroots. They don't want to work with Lauren Boebert. They don't want to work with Matt Gaetz. They don't want to work with Dave Williams. So I think that's the thing. And so, because you kind of think, well, at some point you'd think they would realize they need the grassroots, because I still say there are more grassroots than there are Uniparty people. But I think it's hard to over. I mean, I just think I'm right there that they don't care if they win the general election, right? Jeff Crank may care, but the rest of them don't care. And I'd be curious to see. Well, I think there are going to be national money coming in AFP, but yeah, they don't want. This is what I believe anyway. They don't want to unify the party, right? They just want us to tow along, and if that means that they lose the seat in the general because the grassroots don't turn out, they don't care.
Their candidates in, you know, they got the Rhino candidates in. They're happy with that. And I'm just curious. It seemed like it was low turnout for that tight race in CD5 for the Democratic nominees, the two guys. That was a tight race, but there was only 50,000 votes between them. So did the Democrats cross over and vote in the Crank election, you know?
That could be too. That's a good point.
And think the Democrats would have turned out heavy for that tight race. It was like 51-49 the last time I checked, but they're going to be running against Crank. And so I just am surprised that they're, you know, still wanting to keep up the attacks. But, you know, a friend of ours who's in talk radio said, you know, I couldn't ever get too interested in the primary votes because after all, we are a mail-in voting state. You know, and that's the, you know, California, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado mail-in ballots. So it's like, why get too worked up? You know what I mean? So,
but we have to keep the faith. Charlene, hey, thank you. And those are some good points about, you got to wonder if the Democrats, if you're a Democrat and you know that the seat in CD5 is going to go to the Republican, who cares who the Democrat candidate is? Why not go ahead and get the candidate you can work with? That's a very good point on that. With Jeff Crank. Thank you, Charlene. Good analysis there. You know, and speaking of that, another thing, we've got Mark Prof coming up here in a few minutes, but I wanted to talk about the other thing we need to be worried about, and that is Kent Theory.
Another thing.
So Kent Theory is a billionaire who's trying to take over the election system in Colorado so he can essentially rig it so he can win whatever it is he wants to run for. He is the guy who brought us the open primary with the help of Democrats and Rhino Republicans, right? And he's the one who is now pushing for ranked choice voting. One ballot initiative. What he's done is he's paid untold millions of dollars trying to change the election system in Colorado with lawyers, people researching ballot initiatives, people signing petitions, not to mention just the ad campaigns, right? And this week, the Colorado Supreme Court okayed at least one of his ballot measures. Sure. He's got a bunch of them out there, and I think they're going to try to figure out which one people respond to more, right? But the bottom line is all of them are aimed at installing ranked choice voting or jungle primaries in Colorado and basically eliminating the caucus and the assembly system. Right. And if that happens, both political parties become basically meaningless,
right?
There's no point for a Republican Party if Republicans aren't going to be voting for the candidates. It's just going to be a jungle primary. So what's interesting, though, is I think he's hedging his bets. So he's poured millions into the ballot initiative. So something's going to be on the ballot in November. But in the final few days before the election, he dropped $1.1 million into legislative races. And I think, don't you check that he's covering his bases in case he can't buy the voters.
Yeah.
He wants to make sure that he's got enough legislators to his butt. Yeah. Keep in mind, Barb Kirkmeyer, the rhino from Weld County, she got, where did I have it? $30,000 from Kent Theory in the last few days, even though she was going to win. She's the one, the Republican, remember, who introduced a bill to get rid of assemblies, right? And it failed because it didn't have enough votes. But Kent Theory bought himself 11 more votes last night, right? He bought, he poured over $1 million into 13 somewhat obscure legislative seats, right? And he won.
Absent Hernandez, which are not obscure, but
right. But he won, but they were opposed to it. They were opposed to the caucus. Yeah, they were opposed to getting rid of the rank, to getting rid of the system. So he just bought himself 10 more votes, five of them Republicans and eight of them Democrats who will now vote for whatever ranked choice voting thing he has in the legislature. And that's just in case, the voters, once again, the pesky voters show up. I mean, I think that's something that we need to be keeping an eye on because he's pushing that and that's going to be pushed hard, don't you think?
Sure.
I mean, he's not doing that for no reason. And he's only a one issue thing, right? Kent Theory doesn't care about charter schools. He doesn't care about trans agendas. He just cares about ranked choice voting and completely changing the Colorado election system.
Right.
Wouldn't you say? Yeah. I mean, and for reasons, now here's from this, from Charlene, multinational oligarchs own Congress. Mike Johnson and company bought their puppets. Exactly. And Sandra, oh, by the way, Eli Brimmer calls us the establishment. That's right. From Jacob, a lot of those candidates on the fringe left lost. Hernandez lost because the Dems wanted him out, as did Epps, right? But I think they were the only two, the fringe ones, right? So, I mean, some of the, which is interesting.
Well, the rest of them are fringe, but they're not called fringe.
Some of the other fringe ones, this guy, because this is one that Kent Theory lost in Aurora, I think it was. No, maybe Fort Collins, a fringe guy won.
Oh, good.
In the Democrats. But he'll be a fringe guy who'll vote for ranked choice voting. I mean, keep in mind, that's the only reason Kent Theory put money into those races, right? And then from Charlene, exactly, James, that's the point. Multinational Walmart Cokes want to hamstring Trump. Well, don't forget that, right? I mean, I got to admit, I am dismayed, I think as are you, by Trump's apparent truce for the Koch brothers.
It makes sense, but it's, it's just more. I mean, you have three Republicans, all of which will be awful.
They'll be Doug Lamborns.
Yeah, they'll be Doug Lamborns.
I mean, maybe even Ken Bucks. I don't know that they'll be as bad. Jeff Crank might be a Ken Buck.
Yeah, Jeff. Well, who knows? I mean, he's such a disgusting little mole. So, great. We can all go to the Republican Assembly and cheer our congressman.
We got Greg Lopez, though, and Lauren Boebert.
Yeah.
We got Greg and Lauren. So we've got that for a while. But it'll take a while to break down. I think, though, what we need to do is resist. Everybody's like, Dave Williams resigned. And he's indicated that he's not going to. And I hope to God he doesn't, because the Republican Party, I would argue, not that I didn't want to be a congressman, the Republican Party in Colorado needs Dave Williams and his spine and his fighting spirit. I think more than being just the 435th member of Congress.
No, but the trouble, 435th, he brings consultants. He brings.
Oh, no. I'm saying I wish he had won. But I mean, we still need him here. You know, hopefully, Hopefully he'll realize that once he cuts. Well, he did. He already said. He's like, no, I'm not stepping down. And I think there isn't. I think that they will launch that because they're going to try to take back the Republican Party so they don't have
take
to.
Back what? What kind of corpse do they want to take
well,
back?
Well, they don't want. They want to stomp out the grassroots altogether, right. I think, right? This is from Jacob. Last night I said to a parking attendant, not to be political, but one of the presidential candidates wants to stop taxing tips. The parking attendant said, yes, Biden will cut the tax on tips. Wait, so you mean he was saying that Biden will eliminate it, right? Well, and then we can briefly, before we bring in Mark Poff, we can briefly bring the debate. You're looking forward to that.
Well, who isn't? Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to assume that he's not going to show up as a corpse. And so what will you have showed up at, mad, or they've adjusted the medications, or and how will Trump come across? I mean, it's an hour and a half of pure drama.
A lot of commercial breaks. It'd be interesting to see how CNN does the commercial breaks, right?
Right in the middle of Trump saying something good.
To go to commercial. If Joe Biden starts wandering off,
right.
They'll toss to a commercial break. you know, and I saw Mark Poff come on. I don't know, Mark, if you're there, you want to go. We could. It's a little bit earlier than I said. We could bring you up if you want. I hear you. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Can you hear me? I'm talking from a corner of a bar at the airport in Las Vegas.
Wow.
And my whole screen just went dark. Oh, there we go.
There you go. There you go.
There we go. So I'm sitting in the corner of a bar.
All right.
Not just drinking water.
Okay. Well, you can drink. It's a podcast. You could probably, if you were Elon Musk, you could smoke pot if you wanted to. I don't know.
Yeah, probably not going to do that.
How was Vegas? Business, pleasure? Did you win?
It was all pleasure. My wife loves Vegas. So she makes me take her, you know, a couple times a year. All the kids came out and everything. So we had a good time. And now we're just waiting in the airport to get back to Colorado Springs.
Right. Just for what does she love about Las Vegas?
Oh, Chuck, who used to spend he wants to know what she likes there. Chuck, who used to spend billions of dollars in Las Vegas.
Well, I would be willing to bet that Chuck plays craps.
Yes.
My wife plays roulette, which I think is a girl's game. I'm usually playing craps, but it's ridiculous. There was actually $100 crap tables out here. It's insane. If you want to talk about not living or inflation, not living in the real zone, come out to Vegas and walk around the casinos, because this is not reality. Inflation is huge. Everything is totally expensive out here.
Wow. Now I used to go to Vegas. I haven't been in years, but I like to play craps too, just because you can keep your money a little bit longer. But I used to play downtown. They used to have like $2 minimum bets. I take it those aren't there anymore.
No. You can't find a $5 table anywhere in Vegas right now. It's all 10, 15, 25. And the problem is, those are bad numbers. Like a $15 table doesn't make sense. I mean, you're trying to do all the math. You know, everything was designed around $5.
Right.
Wow. Well, a lot of the touch. So we're going to be taking Friday off. And Mark is going to fill in for us again. And so just kind of wanted to touch base. I know you've been in Vegas, so you probably haven't paid a whole lot of attention to the Colorado election. You guys got screwed in CD5, though, just so you know. So,
yeah, yeah, you're so right, because I've been on his radio show, the name that should not be named or whatever, and he's just extremely rude. And, you know, I tried to have a conversation with Jeff, and he just can't have it. It's his way or the highway. And what's interesting is that years ago, him and Doug Lamborn hated each other.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what the relationship is now. But it's
Lamborn endorsed.
It's going to be a lot of
Lamborn endorsed.
Jeff Frank is not going to do anything.
No,
of course he did. I mean, that's how the system works. Wayne Williams, all these guys—they don't do anything for the people. It's all about them. They are career politicians that don't care about the people.
No, and you're right. And Jeff Crank, he'll be there till he drops dead, basically, right? People, it'll be like Doug Lamborn. I mean, I know, you know, we've had you on the show and you've talked about, you know, Doug, is he still around even?
Right. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't do anything. You know, there's so many other Congress people that are doing, you know, like Stefanik.
Right.
I just, you know, I don't know how you guys feel, but, I, you know,
I like
when
her.
I hear her and I'm having a mind block on the guy from Ohio that I really like, Jordan.
Okay.
You know, you constantly hear them on the media talking to the press. And old Doug, you know, is just gone. He's like vaporware. And you know, I'll be interested to see what Crank does. But
you won't ever notice Crank. Just like there's not a day we said, hey, did you hear what Fred Lamborn did? There was not a single day in his five terms.
Right.
We probably won't even have a Twitter account. Well, so fill in Friday. You're going to have the debate. I mean, I don't know what you're going to talk about. And you've been in Vegas, so you may not know what you're going to talk about either.
The debate is actually for the first time in my life, I have a presidential debate in my calendar, so I won't miss it.
Wow.
I don't know, when we were younger, you used to have those Hi Bob parties. You'd watch Bob Newhart.
Oh, yeah.
And whenever somebody said Hi Bob, you had to take a shot.
Right.
I think every time that Joe Biden just freezes, you know, everybody has to take a shot. We'll be hammered, you know, before the night's over. There's going to be so much to talk about. Just the different things that are going to happen and not happen. They're probably cranking B12 into him every day leading up to this.
And I said this. That's his show. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, who takes – I've been in debates when I was on the school board. And you know, like I always say, especially as a detective, it's easy to remember the truth. It's hard to remember lies. So yeah. Biden needs to rehearse a lot. Because he's going to be spewing
Joe. See, the best thing about Joe, he thinks the corn pop story is real.
It's true.
He thinks he really ran. Yeah, he thinks he did an 18 wheeler. I mean, you know, I mean.
My goodness. I mean, the Pinocchios should be everywhere.
Right. That's right.
On this thing. So I'm very interested. And on Friday, hopefully we can chat about some of that. John and I are so busy with trials and stuff coming up. I've been getting hammered out here in Vegas from attorneys. So I'm hoping John can sneak about 15, 20 minutes or something of his time. But he might literally be in the courthouse and talking about different things because there are some cool stuff going on. But to be honest with you, I'm interested in talking about Biden and this debate and to see what people have to say. If we can open things up, so hopefully everyone will join on Friday. We can open it up and people can say whatever they want.
All right, perfect. Well, we'll let you go on that. Since at the airport, you can maybe go gamble
practice those shots.
That's right. Yeah. Well, see you so much, Mark. Safe flight back and say hey to your family.
All right, talk to you soon.
All right, bye. It should be pretty interesting. I think the trouble with the bar is set so low that I think, you know, as a view said, if Joe Biden doesn't like collapse on the way to the podium, you know, it'll be a victory. But I have this is, again, my prediction. I think it should be kind of boring. I think that they're going to have him prepped enough that he's not going to make any sense. Right. But that doesn't matter.
But the moderators are not going to go, that's not the question he asked you, Joe.
Right.
They're not going to go, that makes no sense, Joe. They'll go, brilliant.
Right.
Brilliant.
Exactly. They'll say, is there a threat to democracy? And he'll kind of ramble about something. They'll say, is Trump racist? And he'll ramble out. I mean, he'll just spew the same Democrat platitudes he's been spewing for 40 years, whether it's appropriate to the question or not. And then Donald Trump, on the other hand, you know, they're going to. Yeah. But on the other hand, that's kind of good, too, because it has come out. I mean, and it's clear how biased CNN is, right? Yeah. So even if CNN tries to be fair,
they can't be.
I know that they just can't help themselves. So it's going to be sort of a disaster on their end too. It's going to be, you know, sort of Donald Trump versus. It'll be interesting to see how much they run interference.
Right.
But I think Donald Trump, I think, is smart enough, and I hope enough that, again, if I were him, I just let Biden talk. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And if I were Donald Trump, I talk about what I'm going to do. And you just keep asking the basic question. Are you better off than you were? No, you're not. You know, you heard even Mark, even in Las Vegas, the inflation has hit the craps table, you know?
Serious stuff.
So that is serious stuff. That is serious stuff. Well, maybe should we wrap it up a little bit early?
A little bit early.
We've got a ton of stuff to do and to digest, because we'll be talking more and get your guys' thoughts on what do we do. There's a Colorado, and I know besides with Chuck, which, I mean, we have to do something. We can't just give up. So for tomorrow, popcorn or pizza, there you go. We should do Corn pop. You should do corn pop.
Corn pop. Yeah,
shots. Shots of whatever. Hey, listen, thank you to the great guys at BBS, to Mark and Greg Lopez.
Yeah, thanks, Greg. And it's such, you know, Greg is one of the really nice, great guys. He really is. There's never a time I've asked Greg to do something and he said, nah, look, I'm busy. No, he did right. It every time. So I'm so thrilled that he's going to go to Congress and have an experience.
Yeah, an experience. Oh, and to be kind of free from, you know what I mean, from having to play the game.
He doesn't have to play the game. That's why I think he ought to just moon the whole Congress or something. You know,
make Mike Johnson come to him.
Yeah.
Say, dear Mike, busy. No, okay. Hey, listen, thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you soon. Thank you.